We are officially back for season two, and we are kicking off this season with hands down one of my favorite episodes I've ever done. No lie. Today I chat with Ray from Washington, who says he's a bigger guy who really struggles with his body image and just can't escape the pressure from society to be chiseled into a body type that's just impossible for him to achieve with his genetics. I know a lot of us, male, female, and everyone in between, can relate to that. Now, we talk a lot about how body image affects women on this show, so today we're flipping the script and talking about how negative body image affects men too. This is a huge and growing issue, and so I am so excited that we get to dive into this today. We really get into the role that toxic masculinity plays, and also bring in an expert to give Ray, and frankly all of us, some tangible tips to becoming body neutral, a term that we'll get to later in the show, and really start loving the skin that we're in. Again, this is one of my favorite episodes I've ever done because Ray gets so vulnerable and raw, and honestly, I learned so much. So without further ado, let's get this started. When I was growing up, I was always told that I was too much to handle. I was too loud, too opinionated, too demanding, just plain too much. Now, as an adult, I celebrate these qualities within myself and within the women I know. This is a call to action. This is a space to own your too muchness. This is too much to handle. I am so excited to welcome Too Much to Handle listener Ray to the show. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing today?
I'm all right.
Good. Ray, I am so appreciative that you are a supporter of the show, and I'm so appreciative that you reached out.
Well, I appreciate it. And also, I don't know if you noticed, but probably not, because I think the timeline would have been way off, but I did compliment you like a year ago or so because of something that you wrote. I've been following your stuff on like when you're on Think Tank.
Yeah, thank you.
And,
I appreciate that.
And I really appreciate some of the stuff you do, like doing your podcasts and the things that you write on Instagram and stuff, because my company is very, very active in helping women in the community.
Uh-huh.
And we partner up with local groups that help women with domestic violence and stuff like that.
Wow, good
and
for you.
Those kinds of things, what you advocate for women standing up and accomplishing things, that's very, very important. And I that's why I'm a fan of yours.
Thank you, Ray. That truly touches my heart, and that means a lot. I'm very appreciative of you saying that and for you supporting me and for you being a part of it now. And you sent in a question. You actually DM'd me a question about toxic masculinity and body positivity and sort of how they commingle. And this is something that I am very passionate about. And you wrote, "I definitely feel like society puts a ton of pressure on guys to be muscular and physically fit. I have a mitochondrial disease, which makes that standard near impossible to achieve. And since I can't exercise like a normal 31-year-old, I can't just try harder. This affects my self-esteem, and I definitely attribute it to toxic masculinity. We can't express our insecurities because it's seen as weak, so we just bottle it up inside and carry on. If it's exhausting for me, it must be harder for many others. I'm 6'4", 340 pounds, chubby but athletic build, with a great job and social life, but I still feel that toxic judgment that I think it's more harmful than most want to admit. I try to talk about it when it's appropriate in an effort to diminish the subtle fat shaming, but it's exhausting." So first of all, I want to applaud you and thank you for your vulnerability. First up, before I say anything else, that in itself, that as an action, is an assault against toxic masculinity. And so I want to thank you for your bravery. First up, First up.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. And for those listening, if you're not familiar with toxic masculinity, basically it means suppressing emotions or masking distress, maintaining an appearance of hardness, and violence sort of as an indicator of power, sort of that tough guy behavior. And it's a lot of what society puts on men as young boys, right? Mm-hmm. And is this, so I'd love you to like a little bit, if you want to elaborate on anything that you said or you want me to be aware of before we sort of dive in more.
Sure. Well, I mean, I grew up in a rural town as a dairy farmer, and you know, everybody is in that town, especially me and my neighbors, grew up working very hard, and we know the meaning of hard work. Because of my job, I'm a business owner, and I get a lot of respect for my position. And I'm not the stereotypical person who'd get bullied, you know, especially being my size. So it's not a bullying issue necessarily, but it feels like bullying sometimes. So that's kind of a weird position to be in, because it's like I'm kind of looked at as a person who would step in and stop bullying.
Yeah.
And so never the kind of person who would be picked on. And it's not being directly picked on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like I wish I could do certain things, but I'm just too big, and I wish I could feel comfortable at, you know, out of the swimming hole or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's, you can't, in my early 20s, I was, I don't know if you know much about mitochondrial disease.
No, but it, you could elaborate, that would be great. I think everybody could benefit from learning
about it. It's a very rare degenerative cellular disease, and it basically makes your cells age very rapidly.
Mm.
So when I was in my 20s, which wasn't that long ago, but in my early 20s, I was playing a very competitive soccer in the National League in Taiwan. I was also playing on a rugby team. Mm-hmm. I was 220 pounds, super fit, just a really good athlete. And but in that amount of time, from then until now, so like, what, 7 years or so, I do a lot of exercise. I have a personal trainer.
Yeah.
I eat really healthy. I cook a lot of my own meals. And still, I'm like, you know, huge. And I just can't, it's really hard to control everything. And then people are like, oh, well, fat people, it's their fault, you know?
Mm.
And you just need to like put the Twinkie down. I haven't had a Twinkie since I was in middle school,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then I work a lot in Europe, and people in Europe are definitely a lot more in shape than a lot of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's hard because I don't want to be a stereotypical overweight American, you know?
Right,
and
right.
So I try really hard, but it's with mitochondrial disease, you have to balance perfectly your health or your rest and exercise.
Interesting.
And if you rest too much, it gets really bad and you lose a lot of autonomic function.
Mm.
And if you exercise too much, the same thing happens.
Yeah.
And so you really have to balance constantly.
So. Yeah. Well, my heart goes out to you. And I just want to appreciate your sharing. I'm very, very grateful for that. I want to applaud you for that. I think it was really interesting how you sort of started when you were talking about what you're going through is feeling like you're being bullied, but almost by society, you know, with messages that you get and the sort of situations that you're in that maybe aren't amenable to you and your situation and how you feel. And so I think that's a really interesting point. And I think oftentimes when we talk about body standards and we talk about body image, we talk about women. And I will put my hands up and be the first one to be guilty of that. But male body image dissatisfaction is a huge issue. It's tripled in the last 25 years from 15% to 45%. 45% of men are unhappy with their body. 1 in 10 people with anorexia are male. 70% of men are on extreme diets. 3% of men binge eat. 4% of men purge after eating. And 3% of adolescent boys use performance-enhancing drugs. So it's on all different sides of the spectrum. And these are just ways body image dissatisfaction sort of manifests. I really want to get into your story more. And I could talk about body positivity and body image till I'm blue in the face, but I want to bring in an expert in specifically male body image. I'm bringing in Ryan Sheldon. He's a motivational speaker. He's a Braun model, and he is the host of his own segment on Loveline with Dr. Chris Donahue as the body image expert. He has been educating audiences about body image and binge eating disorder since his own diagnosis in 2015. Ryan is clearly an expert on these issues, and he's also a sought-after speaker on masculinity, identity, and body confidence. So I want to introduce you to Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how are you?
I am great. So you just heard a little bit of Ray's story. I would love for you to sort of talk to us a little bit about who you are and what you do. So for the people who don't know you, who need to know you.
Totally. First, I want to say thanks to Ray for sharing that as well. I know, even though I do this so much, I know how hard it is to actually like come out with like your story. And so I appreciate it and I can relate. So thank you. So yeah, I'm Ryan. I was diagnosed with an eating disorder in 2015 and also body dysmorphic disorder. I essentially hated my body, hated myself, and I manifested in an eating disorder and body dysmorphic disorder. I created a blog back in 2015 because I went to Google and I typed in men with eating disorders, men like who hated their bodies, just to see what I could find, and I found nothing. So that's why what triggered me to create my own blog, and then that kind of picked up, and then one thing led to another, and then I shared my story on the Today Show, and then after that, everything changed, and I became a spokesperson for the National Eating Disorder Association, and a lot of really cool things. So now it's like my job is to, I love it, it's to travel the country and, you know, talk about body image and eating disorders to so many different types of people. But I found this passion with talking to men, especially because there's no other guy really out there doing it. And if you see it, you see all the, they show you all the plus sides to it. Like, I'm so happy if you do X, Y, and Z, you can love your body too. But it's not as simple as that. With all the positives, there's also negatives. So I think it's, I really strive to kind of showcase my entire life, the good and the bad.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ryan, do you have questions for Ray? Anything else that you sort of want to, for him to elaborate on?
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious what, because I could talk about body, you know, positivity. I also prefer the term body neutrality, to be honest with you.
Mm.
But I guess, like, what triggered you to reach out to Hannah in the first place?
Well, I've had kind of chronic depression for ever since high school, I guess. Undiagnosed, I should say. And it's been something since I've been traveling for pretty much my whole adulthood and been on my own doing research and starting my own company and all that stuff. I haven't had the opportunity to ever seek out help for it. Mm. And I think that's part of the toxic masculinity too, is like, if you're the person who has everything under control and everybody goes to you for answers, then it just seems like out of step to go to a therapist.
Yeah.
And so I guess I remember when I wrote, when I DM'd Hannah, it was like I was scrolling through Instagram and I saw her little message on Instagram like 3 a.m. And so I thought I'd just write in. And because I'd have sleepless nights every few nights pretty regularly. And I guess it was just a bout of depression. And it did help me to write about it,
yeah.
Get it out on words, in words. And then lo and behold, she responded later. So that was cool. but yeah, it was just, I was feeling down about my situation at that time. And at present, I'm feeling a lot better than I was at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think everything you're saying, like, it makes sense why you would feel so, you know, shamed about it, because I think that as a society, we're taught that to be powerful, to be wealthy, to be successful, to be lovable, to be worthy, we have to look a certain way. And that is brought to us by the media, I think, is the prime example. So I think that everything you're saying makes complete sense. I remember hating my body when I was 8 years old, which is so crazy to me, because I don't know what triggered that or what caused that, but I remember going swimming and I would wear a t-shirt, and I wasn't even overweight at that time. I was, you know, you could say normal weight, whatever that really is. Yeah. And people would say, why are you wearing a t-shirt? And I would say, because I get sunburned really easily. And they were like, well, haven't you heard of sunblock? obviously I've heard of sunblock, but my excuse would be I have very fair skin, so it doesn't work for me. But from such a young age, I remember hating my body. And then I remember like my eating disorder triggered and like spiraling out of control and me going through all these ups and downs. So everything you're saying definitely makes sense. So that's, don't think that you're abnormal. I think that there's such a misconception because of the stigmas that are associated to like, you know, mental health issues to begin with. Right. And then throw that towards men and then put body image on top of it. You know, just to throw some statistics out there, 30 million people, 30 million Americans are struggling or will struggle with an eating disorder at some point in their life. And 10 million of those are men. So that number is super underrepresented, I think, because of the stigmas that are associated with it. So my whole goal in doing what I do is to kind of raise awareness and to get more men to talk about it. So again, I commend you for that.
Yeah, and I kind of want to add on to what Ryan's saying, because I do think that when you, like you said, to be, you know, powerful, to be wealthy, to be loved, right? We have this image of what you like, quote unquote, need to look like, right? That society puts forth. And I think that is compounded with the fact that men are told, if you feel unworthy, if you feel depressed, like you're talking about, Ray, if you feel upset about something, fuck it up. Man up, you know what I mean? Grow a pair, figure it out. And you're not given, and it's so unfortunate for all of the BS that women have to go through with the issue of male privilege and all of that. We are at an advantage because we're taught from a young age how to talk about your emotions, how to deal with your emotions. In fact, it's encouraged to talk with your girlfriends about what you're going through. And men are not offered that. Men are not taught that. They're taught that, like, no, that makes you less, quote unquote, less of a man. Like, what the fuck does that mean?
Well, it doesn't keep me from doing it.
No, that's
I talked to my friends about it. And
do they resonate with you? Do they understand?
No.
No, interesting.
Because my friends are you know, they're fit and they're in shape. And like my brother, he does the STP. I don't know if you know what the STP bike ride is. Seattle to Portland bike ride every year. And like, I am kind of uniquely pretty much the only overweight person in my social group and work groups, and especially like when I go to Europe. I think because when you travel, I don't fit in the economy class seats anymore.
Mm-hmm.
No. And
which is bullshit because that's literally a mold that you have to fit within.
You want
to
talk about like fat phobia and weight stigma? Throw that in there because that's like a not being able to travel is like I struggle fitting in economy seats, to be completely honest. And I just came back from Europe and I was stuck on one way going in the very last row in the middle seat. And I felt so bad for the people that were on either side of me because I'm a big guy too. And it was just the most
uncomfortable. I get hit by the cart every time.
Your leg gets, your knee gets hit by it or something. Yeah.
My shoulders are too big. When I have these growth spurts that are just massive growth spurts, 100 pounds in 6 months. I've been doing that since I was 21. And I would gain a massive amount of weight. I'd have stretch marks on my arms and stuff. And then I'd really have to work hard to tone it back. And I would be healthy for a while, and then I get another one. And just huge fluctuations.
I have a question for you, actually, about, you said you talked to your friends about this. Are they like very sympathetic towards you and towards what you're going through?
They're not. None of them are mean about it. They wouldn't be my friends if they were mean.
Mm-hmm. Right. I ask that because I have friends. Most of my friends don't struggle with an eating disorder or body image issues. However, like one or two of my friends do. And I find that my friends that don't struggle with it, they're not mean about it, but it's hard for them to relate to me. And then it causes a lot of frustration on my end. And I found the same thing with my family also. So I educate them. I try my best to educate them because you want to be able to feel as close as, you know, as you want to be to your friends. And I was talking to one of my friends who's a very big body image activist. And I was talking to her about it. And she's like, Ryan, I think that you need new friends, or I think that you need to I know, but she might not have been wrong, but it's not that they're bad people. It's like, I want to find people in my life right now at this time that can understand what I'm going through. Because this is, I spend every single day, this is my job, going around the country talking about it. And it's very hard to not have people in my life that I can talk to and that can really understand it. So that's why I really try to educate them about it. But what I did do is I started an online Facebook group for men that are struggling with eating disorders and body image issues. And I can send that to you after this. But I did that because I found that when I started Instagram, I had so many DMs from other guys like yourself that were messaging me being like, I don't feel comfortable talking about this in public because I'm going to be perceived as weak or I'm going to be perceived as being gay, which again, there's nothing wrong with any of that. But it's just now there's a place where these guys come and they talk about their darkest insecurities, their deepest insecurities. And it's only with men and they feel very comfortable to do that. So. Yeah.
I think that's a really great point that you brought up, Ryan, about like sort of educating your friends and educating your family members about what you're going through and what a lot of men go through. I think the second component of that, that I think, Ray, you could really benefit from, is like what you're doing right now is like we're educating all the listeners about this, because I think oftentimes we see somebody who we perceive as overweight, right? And we're like, oh, they don't eat healthy. They don't work out. They're not healthy. You know what I mean? And all these like falsities that society has sort of perpetuated that aren't true. Right. And so like sharing your story about what you're going through with your mitochondrial disease and how hard you work to find balance between rest and exercise and to find balance with the foods that you eat and things like that. This right here is smashing some of that stigma down, because we, you know, everybody has different things that are going through their bodies. Like, I mean, we know, I'm sure we all know somebody who is really, really skinny, who's not healthy, right? Who may have an eating disorder or who may just have the fastest metabolism that ever existed and eats right. Whatever they want and never works out, right? So it's not necessarily sort of a barometer for health, like I think is perpetuated in the media. Mm-hmm. What I'm curious to, since we have Ryan here, I know you reached out about sort of like you feel, you have moments of feeling secure and then you have moments of feeling really insecure about your body. So I think what we should do right now is come up with some tangible steps, right? And some tangible things that you can do, maybe on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly basis, to sort of build that foundation of feeling good in your skin. And I think this is applicable to men, women, people who are underweight, overweight, everybody. So Ryan, what are some first steps that Ray can sort of take?
Yeah. So I just want to throw in there that I think this is that's a great question, that I struggle with this as well. Like, look, I'm a model. I get paid to stand in front of a camera and, you know, showcase my body. And that is the most intimidating thing. I remember my therapist was like, are you sure you want to do this? You struggle with all of these things. Is this something?
Can you define bronze model really quick? Like, I know what it is. I want to make sure everybody listening does.
Sure. It's, you know, you could think of, so the equivalent of like curvy women model, it's the same thing for men. It's like men that don't have that cultural ideal body, the one that you see in the cover of the magazines with the six packs and the chiseled arms and the chiseled jawline. But jokes on them, because I got on the cover of a magazine just the way that I am.
Uh-huh.
So I think that, what was I saying again? Hold on.
You were talking about that you get paid and that you're not totally have that foundation either.
Yeah, and my therapist was like, do you feel comfortable doing this? And I was like, listen, like I've struggled so much. Now I'm at a place where, look, body positivity is something that I don't really live by, because that means like you love your body at all times, no matter what the cultural norms are. But that's not the case for me. It's more like I accept my body. I embrace my body for everything. Do I love my love handles? No. Do I embrace them? Yes. So that's the difference, I think.
Does that make sense, Ray? Do you feel that? Does that resonate with you?
Well, kind of is I accept. I guess I don't accept it. I don't know, because so I've had to get all new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Like at least a couple times now.
Right.
And I have like, when I can't fit into some clothes that I was able to just months prior, that's frustrating. And it makes me feel discouraged.
Right.
And it doesn't make me want to go out and get new clothes. Right. It makes me want to try to lose the weight so I can fit back into it.
Are there, I hear you. I'm curious if there are moments when you look in the mirror and you look at your body and there's something that you're like, maybe I'm not obsessed with my arms or my stomach or something like that, but I embrace it. Kind of like Ryan is talking about. Is there a body part that you feel like, oh, you know what? I embrace this. This is me. I accept it.
I don't know. But I guess because maybe this is the dairy farmer in me.
Yeah.
That I appreciate most the utilitarianness of my body.
Mm, so, interesting.
And when I was first able, when I had my first growth spurt when I was 18, like massive growth spurt where I went, shot up. I was 155 pounds in high school because of this disease. And I went in less than a year up to like 250. Mm. And I was throwing silage, throwing tires on silage pit. I could throw tires twice as far. And I could pick up farmland implements from the ground with one arm. And I felt like I had superpowers. And I'm playing soccer and I'm playing goalie and I'm able to like sprint fast and pummel people that come into my goal box, I loved it.
Yeah.
And, and so it's not, I guess, like if you say what parts do I appreciate about my body, it's I have a lot of strength. And yeah. I am a linguist who spends 5 hours a day just studying and the rest of the day having meetings and running my company.
Right.
And so I study and I read and I do computer work and yet I'm strong. Mm-hmm. And that I appreciate.
Which is, I think is great. And Ryan, I could tell you wanted to sort of like chime in. What do you think about that concept of the utilitarian aspect of your body?
I think that's like exactly like you hit the nail on the head, if that's even the right saying. Because my therapist, when I would go into her office, I would say like, she would ask me like, what do I think body positivity is? What is, you know, body confidence, body neutrality? And I was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to really fit any of those 100%, even though it's the closest is body neutrality. She said, why don't you start what is the message that your brain is sending to your body? And I would say, well, I'm not good enough. I don't look like that guy on the cover of the magazine. I don't look like that. I don't have a six pack. I'm never going to find a partner because I'm too fat, all of these different things. And she's like, well, why don't you start looking at like sending messages from your brain to your body that's saying your body is, you know, what's going to get you from point A to point B in life. Your body is what's going to help you make money in life, whether it's a model or whatever you're doing, you have to have a body to be able to do that. Your body is something that you own, and it's the only thing that you're ever truly going to own, and it's with you till the end of time. And I was sitting there and I was like, okay, this is, I hear that a lot, but whatever. And then I started saying that to myself. So every morning I wake up, I have little post-it notes on my mirror that's like, Ryan, you're an amazing person. You're great. You're handsome. You're all these, you're a hard worker. And then it started to like, I guess it's like a cognitive behavioral type of thing, because the messages I was sending from my brain to my body was no longer that I don't have a six pack like that guy does. It's more like, hey, guess what? Like my body is what's going to help me get to work today. Like all things like that. And that started to, I can't explain it, but that started to shift the way that I felt about my body.
Have you ever lost ability to walk before?
I have not, no.
I wasn't able to walk when I first, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
When I was 18. And
because of the growth spurt?
The growth spurt happened after that. When I
started. Okay.
But my health declined really rapidly my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
To the point where I wasn't able to walk anymore. And I was vomiting about 8 to 12 times a day, every single day.
Yeah.
And so after that period was over, what you're talking about, Ryan, definitely happened, was like, I can walk.
Yeah.
And the doctor will never walk again.
Gives you perspective. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think what Ryan's talking about, which I think is applicable to every human, regardless of your ability, right? And regardless of your size and things like that, because our brains do not know the difference between reality and fantasy. They don't,
yeah.
Right? And so, you know, you can feed it sort of whatever the flip you want. And so you might as well feed it positive things, right? Because then it will sort of understand that positive things are happening and you feel positively, right? So
yeah.
An example that I always give is, let's say, I don't know your relationship situation. Let's say you have a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whomever, right? And you like constantly are like, you suck. You're not worthy. you're awful, you're just disgusting, whatever it is, are they going to be nice to you? Are they going to stick around? You got to treat your body. The one thing, like Ryan is saying, the one thing you have for your entire life is your body, right? Women come and go, men come and go, whatever. You have your body forever. You got to treat it like you would treat a partner, like you would treat a best friend, right? Yeah. And I think starting with the utilitarian can sometimes lead into the aesthetic part. So for me, I am not, you know, I am not overweight. I will not, you know, I was blessed with a faster metabolism, but I have thicker legs. I have really muscular legs, and I could do nothing and they would still be very muscular. And I used to be really self-conscious about that as a young girl who grew up in LA where every girl has like spider legs, you know, and that's how I saw it. But then I started sort of being like, well, yeah, like I can walk. I'm a big runner. So I'm like, fuck, like I can run a marathon with these legs. Okay. So they're a little bigger, but like, you know what I mean? That is what it is. And especially for women, obviously you two can't relate, but like we can flip and create life with our bodies, you know? So if you just start seeing all the things, and even if God forbid anything happens where maybe you can't walk, you talk about studying. Your body is a vessel for you to study. It is a vessel for you to, you know, grow your business. Is it a vessel for you? I can tell you're a very like intellectual guy who probably makes your friends laugh a lot. Your body does that. Like, how cool is that? Right. Yeah. And so what Ryan is talking about here is like writing, I think, is a great sort of little step for anybody who's listening, especially for you, Ray. Write, you know, affirmations, as woo-woo as it sounds or as hippie as it sounds. You know, you can put it on your phone if you don't want to put it on your mirror. I write on my mirror in big capital letters, I love my body. And it's on there. So every time I walk in front of it naked, it's on in front of my body.
Yeah, right? There's something that you said to Ray, Hannah, that I can relate with him really well is you asked him if there's one, like what part of his body does he like or does he appreciate right now? And I remember when I was in therapy, the first time I now see a specialist who treats people with body dysmorphic disorder and eating disorders. And she said, stand in front of the mirror. I do a lot of mirror work. Mm. And she said, tell me one thing you like about your body. And I said, I don't know. Like, I can't answer this. And this was, and every time she said, okay, that was it. Sit down. She did this for 7 weeks and I did not have an answer. The seventh week I got up there, she said, tell me one thing you like about your body. And she said, I like my nose. And she said, okay, why do you like your nose? And I said, because everybody tells me I have a good nose. Now I know that that sounds ridiculous, but think about that for a second.
You have a lovely nose, Ryan.
Thank you. She's like, I couldn't tell one thing I liked about my body without having that come from somebody else's mouth.
Mm,
like I didn't even know. So and I don't want to make it seem like it's like super easy to just start, like you can get off this, you know, this call and start loving your body, because it doesn't really work like that.
Yeah.
Because I still struggle. It's like, but it's every, I started really simply by like every morning I would wake up and I would say one thing I was proud of. It wasn't necessarily about my body. It was like, okay, Ryan, I'm proud that I woke up on time because I love to sleep and I miss a lot of early morning meetings. I'm proud that I took my dog on a long walk. I'm proud that I didn't forget, you know, my book bag at home, which I've done before. So it's like these little things. And then that becomes like all these positive affirmations that you're saying become this like muscle memory. And then it can start to shift into more what you like about yourself.
Positive thinking. Yeah.
Does that resonate with you, Ray? Do you feel like writing little notes, whether it be like setting an alarm on your phone and having it pop up with an affirmation or putting a post-it or something like that? Does that sound like something that could be sort of a first step?
That's an interesting thing to bring up, because like I've been really aware of kind of a tendency that I can be arrogant. And so I always try to be humble and redirect my arrogance as confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's really easy for me to come off as arrogant and I hate that part about my personality. And so I try to avoid that. So I never even thought about doing that because I didn't want to feed my ego.
Yeah.
And I recently, about a month ago or so, I was seeing this girl, and she just would say all the time that she thought I was the most attractive guy in the city, and like she would always rave about how attractive I am. I'm like, I just don't, I didn't feel it, and I guess I didn't believe when she was saying that. And like, I don't know. It must be like, there must be some kind of a, because over the past year or so, when I've been really down on myself about my body image, I guess.
Yeah.
I have had several women explicitly say that I'm good looking. So it must be a me issue then. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So there's a few things I want to comment on. First up, just because we're talking about this. For every single human out there, I think we forget this because the media sends us messages that say the opposite. Like, there is somebody who is out there who thinks you are the hottest shit in the world and they're going to want to put their mouth on your genitals. That is the case, okay? Like, we always forget that, right? And they're going to think, you know, Ryan, like said, he brought up his love handles. There is a guy out there who's like, fuck, yeah, I love these love handles. You know what I mean? And so I think we forget that. What I thought was really interesting when you talked about you didn't want to be arrogant. I think totally nobody wants to be arrogant, but at the same time, the one person you should be building up the most with yourself is yourself. You know what I mean? It's like, be arrogant with yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and be like, fuck, dude, you're a badass boss. You're the shit. You're hot. Whatever, you're so smart, whatever it is that like gets you excited about being you, repeat it. Say it loud, say it proud, write it wherever you can. That doesn't mean you need to go to your friends and be like, hey guys, hate to break it to you, I'm hot as shit. Like, you know what I mean? But you could say it to yourself, and that's a great thing. The last thing I wanted to extract from what you said, which I think was really interesting, and I think it's gonna help a lot of people who are listening, is you said, I hate when I'm arrogant, and I catch myself doing this, which I think is really interesting, because a lot of the times when we're thinking something, whether it be positive or negative, right, we start judging ourselves. Like, wait, why do I think I'm hot? I shouldn't think I'm hot. Or wait, I just shat on my body and was saying how awful it is, and I shouldn't be judging my body in this way. I should be body positive or body neutral, whatever. And the second you start shaming yourself, the second you start judging yourself, you cut off all logical thinking. Any logical thinking. That is literally how your brain works. And so what you really should is catch the shaming that you're doing. Like, oh, I hate when I'm arrogant. Get that out of the way, because nobody needs that up in your grill. And just be like, oh, you know what? Right now, it's okay that I feel awesome about my body, or awesome about my intelligence, or awesome about my life circumstances. Or right now, you know what? I don't feel that great about my life, but I know, or that great about my body, but I know that it's circumstantial, that tomorrow I may feel completely different. You know what I mean? And not getting sucked into it by this like shame fucking cockroach that's in all of our brains.
100%. I think in my experience, like, because I've struggled with my body so much, that there are moments that I feel really positive about it. And I think that kind of like what Ray was alluding to a little bit is like, I actually feel guilty that I feel so good about the way that I look. And then it makes myself shame myself again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, my therapist has the magazine that I'm on the cover. And every time I go in there, she's like, Ryan, do you recognize this guy? Because I have a hard time recognizing a photo of myself, because it's hard for me to be proud of myself. And maybe I'm assuming maybe you feel the same way, right? But it's just like really challenging sometimes to relate to that person that you think of, that everybody else sees, because we don't see that same person, right? We see.
That's kind of what you were talking about, Ray, right? With the girl that you were dating, and I'm sure your friends feel the same way. They don't see what you see, right? Yeah. And sometimes it is helpful to have somebody see you with that different lens, right? Like this girl who came into your life who was like, oh, you're the hottest guy in town. Like, there's truth to that. That is a true statement that she said, right?
Because she was lying though, Ray, when she said that?
No, because she wouldn't have, like the first day we met at a pub trivia, she was like just gunning after me, you know, and like she wouldn't have done that if she didn't think I was attractive, because she didn't know who I was at that point.
Exactly. You know? Look at that, how beautiful that is. Like, just recognizing that and seeing yourself through this person's eyes can sometimes help. I want you to see how great you are through your eyes, but sometimes it is helpful to have that reminder, right? Like with Ryan's magazine cover, that is sort of a reminder of how people see him. And for you, how this girl and probably a lot of other flipping girls see you too, right? So I think, and Ryan, chime in here, your homework is to figure out a way to include affirmations in your life, whether it be on your mirror or a post-it or an alarm on your phone or background on your phone, whatever it is, figure out a way to include affirmations. Do some of the mirror work that Ryan was talking about. Look in the mirror. Think about, is there something that I embrace right now? And if it's not, that's okay. Walk away, but do it day after day. And you can even look in the mirror too and say your affirmations out loud, which is really powerful when you say things in your own words. And then I think the third one is to start sort of recognizing like how your friends see you, right? And how your how girls see you, right? What, you know, and that, and be like, wait, like I, like be arrogant. Like I am the shit. Like people think I'm funny. People think I'm smart. Maybe I'm really flipping good at pub trivia and girls want my D, like whatever it is, like be arrogant in that moment and let yourself have that without underscore, without the shame. Ryan, is there anything else you want to put on his to-do list?
Yeah, I think everything you said is 100%. And also know that it's okay to let go of people in your life that don't make you feel good about yourself.
Ooh, yes!
Friends or relationships. Listen, I was in a 4-year relationship and I was body shamed for the majority of that relationship. And I stuck in that relationship because I was like, oh, this person loves me. Like I'm being loved because they're talking down to me because that's how I perceived love. And that really affected me for years and years and years. It is okay to let people go that are not good to you. And that's a really hard thing to do, especially for people that I find that have challenges with their body and eating disorders for sure.
Oh, that's 100% good advice. I definitely agree with both you guys. And yeah. I guess the former, Hannah, I don't do really at all, I'd admit. The second, what Ryan said, definitely I've been doing that since high school.
Good. Good. Ain't nobody got time for toxicity.
Yeah. People who are not going to make me a better person are not going to be in my life. Yeah.
And then find the people too, like you say to your friends, like you talk to them, like the people that understand you, whether they're going through the same thing or not, but they're empathetic, right? And the people who aren't, maybe don't talk to them about it, right? Talk to the totally. People. You only need like one or two people to vent to, you know?
Well, that's also like in doing what I do, I became part of the eating disorder community. And it's been honestly life-changing for me because they like it's, I have my group of friends who some of them understand it, some of them don't, but like my eating disorder community group of friends get it exactly what I'm going through. So for you to be able to maybe find a community, again, I'll send you that Facebook link because there's other guys on there. There's only guys that are talking about their body image issues, but also like finding communities online that maybe with like that illness that you're struggling with could be a huge thing also, just because a lot of people, like that's who you can relate with really.
Totally. And I will link to that Facebook group too, if that's okay. In the description for this podcast so that we can build this community. We can have more of these conversations. Ray, I cannot commend you enough for opening up and being so, so vulnerable. I know that fighting against toxic masculinity and the pressures that society puts on us around our bodies may seem like it's too much to handle sometimes. But when we build our confidence from within, we can truly find body positivity or body neutrality and be more confident in our skin. I am so appreciative of both of your guys' times. Right, again, like I bow down to you for how open you have been and how vulnerable you've been. And Ryan, thank you for helping us learn how to deal with some of our body image issues. You can find Ryan on Instagram at RealRyanSheldon and on his website, TheRyanSheldon.com, or you can catch him on Loveline every other Tuesday. If you guys have a question and want to be featured on the next episode of Too Much to Handle, please send me a DM to @HannahCranston or email tmthshow@gmail.com. Also, please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss a single episode. And just a reminder, we're coming at you every Wednesday. So buckle up because it's going to be too much to handle.